How many issues of Backcross did you produce?
51. I don't know how many years it was, but it was 65 till late into the 70s anyway, yes.
Are you still doing Z2O?
Yeah, it's reached the 20th number, and I'm beginning to take it a bit more seriously. It used to just be casually done once a year, but I'm doing a bit more work on it now. The current number's all poetry, and I'm very pleased with the people who gave me poems. Yeah. Elizabeth Burns, who I think is really very good.
Yes.
Willie Hershaw and the whole host.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some really interesting poetry being written. It's certainly, although it's so hard to get published or taken by bookshops, it doesn't seem to have killed the spirit at all.
Well, no, I don't get great submissions in a massive way that Akros did in the 60s and 70s, but it's still, you know, thudding through the letterbox every morning. But there's always that level of goodness among them, and some exceptional ones always. So you're quite right, a lot of good poetry being written. I think sometimes it's masked by being quite a centering of the influence among certain people who do anthologies, and it doesn't always show through that there are new, you know, non-mainstream people there.
Well, that's right. You know, in the last issue of Textualities, I had a very young girl, Julia Rampin, who I think she's a wonderful poet.
Yeah.
And there was actually one contributor who was 6 years old when she wrote the poem.
Oh, very good.
But it wasn't done because she was six. They were actually good poems. I practically interrogated her, you know, what help did you get?
Sort of interrogation. Very good, yes.
But that gave me a real thrill. And then the other day, a neighbour of mine who's a taxi driver accosted me to say that he'd been writing poetry. And, you know, that's often a reason to sort of run in the other direction, perhaps. But, well, not really, you know. Anyway, it certainly wasn't. Some of it is lovely.
Yeah.
And you just feel quite thrilled at these moments.
When you find somebody unexpected.
Absolutely. Not known necessarily, or someone sort of... It's like watching one of these fast... A flower and opening.
Yeah, very good. That's a good description.
You just see...
And the funny thing is, when you've been reading so many as we have... I mean, I'm not saying we're always right, but you do have an instinct for them that says, this is something, isn't it? You know, almost instantaneously, you know. The ones that are marginal, you don't get that feeling. You have to think about it. But the ones that are really new and fresh, I think it's recognisable right away, if you've got an open mind.
Yeah, well, there is an issue of taste as well.
True.
I mean, I recently interviewed, not a poet, but the novelist Maria Hyland, and... she was talking about something that I think is so true. It's a mystery that's in the process of writing. There is a mysterious something that happens. And I think that someone else I knew had read that book, didn't like it at all. I thought it was really very disturbing but very good. Who's right, who's wrong?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, yes. And sometimes the poets themselves, as you know, aren't too sure about when to stop. Or when to stop revising more often.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't know our own good poems. We're usually quite good at that, but sometimes there's one that we just think came so easy, it can't be right, and yet other people recognise it, and sometimes they survive. And it is about that moment, you know, you're just in the sportsman, don't they call it the zone or something these days. And
that's the zone. But it's true, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it's a concentration, and you're both living the breath, as it were, and also controlling it. It's a real mixture, but it is one of the ways that poetry is produced, and it's authentic when it happens to the end, I think. Nearly always authentic. More chance of being authentic.
Are you still writing poetry yourself?
Yeah, not so much as I did. I used to write in big bursts. You know, I'd suddenly think, oh, there's a lot of poems, and often when I was on holiday from working, I'd work for a fortnight, and poems would pour out of me. Most of them maybe didn't need to survive, but I did work. But now I just write one every 6 months or something. And the tail end of my new collected poems is, I don't know, 8 or so poems that have come out of that period. And people seem to like them, but they were written in a different way from my earlier ones, which were usually a lot of poems together, whereas these were isolated poems.
Yes.
I don't think it's maybe anything to do with age. I think it's just when you've written so much as I have, you begin to think, oh, I won't bother writing that one because I've done it before.
Yeah,
so it's only when something really special, bright comes that you you do it, you know.
Well, that's right, but always remember George Bruce. I mean, he seemed, I think he lived in his last 10 years just animated by the idea that every morning he'd think about yet another.
I know.
Poem. another one.
I know, and he'd phone somebody like me and tell them all about it, which I enjoyed, by the way. I'm not being.
Enthusiasm
of the man was great.
It's fabulous.
So it keeps you alive, I think, his enthusiasm.
That's right. I think it has to be something like that. That's the thing.
And it was a kind of, not naive is the wrong word perhaps, but there was a certain innocence about George which let him write significant poetry. An interesting man too.
He was a very interesting man, and a thing that struck me when I met him, I was very pleased to have met him. I only met him on a few occasions, and I felt, I met him when he was very old, but what I saw when I looked at him was this wee laddie. I saw this wee boy. And his parents were like sort of angels or something in his life, because they had great parents and he loved them still, and they were so present with him.
I know, when he spoke about his early years in Fraserburgh, it was still magic for him, which is why poets
you've got to
have that to be a poet.
The magical quality of things, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, innocence, and but also the skill and the intelligence to make use of that innocence, and George was very good at that. Into his 90s. But people will sometimes say, and I've said it, that poets only have a certain span when they write, and then, like Burns didn't write all that long, and McDermott wrote creatively shorter than some people think.
Yeah.
But George shows you could go on writing poems right to the end. I mean, most of them probably won't survive, but there's probably as many in his 80s and 90s as when he was in his 30s and first writing. You know. I like the early austere ones, I must say, very much too.
When I came here this morning into this beautiful Poetry Library building, and I heard your voice, actually. I could hear you, the first voice I sort of recognised there. It's a very distinctive voice. And I remembered you telling... You were quite involved, weren't you, in the effort that went into creating this place?
Well, in many ways I was. I mean,
you
I did edit the newsletters from quite early on, and I still edit it. But I really wouldn't claim... I mean, somebody like Billy Wolfe and, of course, Tessa put in so much, but... I wouldn't claim to have been a driving force behind it or anything.
No, but you were part of one of the sort of joists or something then, a support beam.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair enough, yes. I hope I still am, really, you know. Yeah,
But I think it must... Does it make you feel to see it happening, and today they're full of all these people involved?
Oh, this has been a great day. I mean, this is really what poetry should be about, isn't it? The activities, people walking about. The great thing is there's so many people, of a whole range there. And all interested. Everybody's been involved, you know, even listening, far less just walking about and talking to each other.
Oh, yeah, it has felt a very, very involved thing. It's really nice that when you feel you're on a sort of, as it were, sort of tide of people.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, I've actually sold quite a few copies of ZDO, but in a way it isn't about selling. It's about the mixing of people and making contacts. I don't mean in any networking sense making contacts, just...
On the human level.
Yeah, you feel you're part of something. It's felt we're all kind of involved. Poetry is a physical thing. I mean, it comes from the breath and the heart. And it's not too distant from dance in that fundamental way. And it's song as well, of course. All poetry is any good song. I mean, it might not be lyrics, but it's still song.